Good morning, everyone. The reading today is from the Gospel of Mark. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they have given their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carol, very much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to these words, we pray that you would help us to understand them so that we would know how you view us and the consequences of that. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you know what personality type you are. There's a modern desire for understanding ourselves through personality types. It is, of course, as old as time in one sense. We try to understand ourselves and why we react as we do. Many people find those personality types useful, and they can be. But one of the major problems with them is they often define humanity without any reference to how God views human beings. But surely the most important view is not actually how we view ourselves or how we're viewed by others, although we worry about that a lot, but how God views human beings, how God views us. And that's what our reading today covers. It deals with how humankind views themselves and, in contrast, how God views them. Actually, we see it in modern culture, in popular literature, on Google and the like, there is often a very positive view about the goodness of humankind. Humankind is portrayed as being essentially good, that we are on a journey of improvement, but that we are often led astray by our upbringing, our parenting, our peers, outside influences. We're told that humankind is essentially good. But the question is that true to what God says and what God teaches? So first we're going to look at man-made religion's view of humankind. Man-made religion's view of humankind. First one. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So that the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" Naturally, man-made religion says that humankind are clean on the inside and corrupted by what comes from the outside. That's what the Pharisees believed and what the oral tradition of the Jews taught. That was why they were so worried about the food they ate, the state of their hands, the washing of bowls, pitchers, and kettles. Now, Jesus is not saying eat out of dirty plates. He's saying don't think that that is what is going to keep you clean if you just wash your hands and wash a few bowls. You see, if you believe you're clean, essentially good, then you need to keep yourself from being corrupted by others. Now, after the pandemic, COVID, we're much more aware of that, aren't we? So why did we not see each other for what felt like 5 years, but was only a year and a half or whatever it was? Because we were told that from outside we could be corrupted. It's true in a hospital too. Why do they say, when you come in, please don't come in if you got a cold or anything? They don't want what is essentially clean to be corrupted by what comes from outside. And you see, man-made religion assumes that we are clean on the inside and that therefore we need rules to keep ourselves clean. Things that will stop us being corrupted by the outside world. Now, for Jews, that was particularly Gentiles that would bring that contamination. But the whole problem is that it is not a view that Jesus accepts. You see, man-made religion says we're essentially good, essentially clean. We just need to keep those influences out. Now, Jesus gives a different view of humankind. So if that man is man-made religion's view of humankind, what is God's view? Well, God's view is far less complimentary. First of all, he says that we don't hold to the word of God. Verse 6. He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." Again and again, Jesus makes this point. The Pharisees thought they believed God's word, but actually the opposite is true. Verse 8, they've let go of it. Verse 9, they've set it aside. Verse 13, you nullify the word of God. Humankind cannot be clean because it holds on to the traditions of men rather than the word of God. And as such, although it may look that we're very religious, doing the right thing, that's what the Pharisees looked like. They looked like they were really religious. They were actually far from God and his ways. Now, this is an active choice. The example that Jesus gives us shows how the Pharisees actively choose to follow human tradition rather than God's word. They do it in order to escape their obligation to their parents. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father and mother. Father honoring parents in the Old and New Testament was to provide financially for them if they needed that. But the Pharisees have thought a way round it. If you declared your money korban, that was set aside for God, then you didn't have to use it to help your parents, even if they need it. You could say to them, screw you, in effect. Sorry, very unchurchy language. But that's what it says. Of course, whether that money was ever given to God was another matter. And of course, what could be more holy than using what you have dedicated to God to obey God's command to honor one's parents? But that they weren't doing. They were simply not holding to the word of God. And that is the natural state of humankind. We see this on an almost daily basis. Our country has the privilege of having a strong Christian background. But as it becomes increasingly unchristian, where Christian values are ridiculed and reviled, as it does that, it gets more and more broken. Why does it journey that way? Well, because naturally humankind, sadly sometimes even within the church, does not hold to the word of God. We let it go, we set it aside, we nullify it. That is a natural tendency we all have. Jesus' view of humankind is that we naturally do not hold to the word of God. Secondly, he says, we are corrupt inside. Verse 15, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. Verse 21, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from inside and defile a person. Twice Jesus makes the same point, once briefly in verse 15, and then in more detail in verses 21 to 23. But the point is the same. Our problem is not an external one, but an internal one. And look at the list he gives in verses 21 to 23. It's comprehensive. It includes both actions and attitudes. It includes some things we like to see as big sins and some we'd see as little sins. I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and we were talking, and she said, oh, I told a white lie yesterday. And I said, you mean you told a lie yesterday? No, it was a white lie. No, it was a lie. We like to grade sin, don't we? Whereas Jesus doesn't here, you see. He includes a comprehensive list. It is a list that all of us will look at and say, oh dear, I'm on guilty of doing at least some of these. Do you see the way here Jesus does not say that we are in essence clean and good? We are in essence unclean, full of evil. Now, it does not mean we're as guilty of all these things all the time. It just means we're prone to doing these things. They're part of our human nature. It does not mean we're as bad as we could be, just we're not as good as we think we are. God's description of us is far more devastating than the world's view of itself. It is hopelessly over-optimistic. God's view is far more realistic. Well, Anthony, that's really exciting. Not. So what are the consequences of having the right view of ourselves, of humankind? Well, if we have the right view, we'll see, first of all, our need of a redeemer. You see, if we take this seriously, we are forced to conclude that the Pharisees, the disciples, and we ourselves are unclean and in need of a Redeemer, a Savior. Someone who will deal with our unclean hearts, who will give us clean hearts, who will deal with the evil within. It makes us recognize that no rules or regulations, no man-made religion will ever be good enough for us, because they'll only deal with the external, not the internal. They won't be able to deal with our hearts. That's why all other faiths ultimately fail. They do not give us the Redeemer we need to make us clean. There is only one who can make us clean. The one who has a clean heart himself. The Lord Jesus. That's why today, as we take bread and wine, we come to be thankful for a Redeemer. He is the one who deals with our deepest need. The world often does not recognize its need of Jesus. Why? Because it doesn't recognize its own corruption, its own brokenness, its own need of someone who can give us a clean heart. If the first consequences of seeing ourselves as we truly are is a fresh realization of our need of a Redeemer, of Jesus, that celebration at Easter is because we recognize our need of being rescued. If the first consequences is we recognize why we need Jesus, the second is that we recognize that our sin is our own. Many 21st century thinkers and worldviews locate the source of our problems in social structure, early childhood experience, or other external factors. These can, of course, have a massive impact on us, and it'd be foolish in the extreme to deny that. But to agree that this is the real cause of our problems is to deny the reality of what Jesus teaches. The basic reason we sin, do wrong, is not social structures or early childhood experiences or our friends or the world's influence. It's because inside each of us, we have a tendency to sin. If you've ever read the book of Genesis, you see that clearly in the early chapters, because in the earliest chapters, Adam has to be persuaded and Eve have to be persuaded to sin. By the time we get to Abel, he will not be dissuaded from sin. By the time we get to Lamech, and that's not far into the Bible, I can assure you, he's boasting of his sin. And again in the Bible, it is our own, and in our own lives, we see we choose to sin, to do what is wrong, because we actually want to do it. Here is my confession. I sin because I want to. Here is your confession. You sin because you want to. You may dress it up. Oh, it's just my character, my way. But the truth is that that's what the Bible teaches us. We need to be clear, our sin is our own. It's not caused by another, although that may encourage us. I was privileged to have a few days away, and we were walking around Winchester, and there was somebody with a hoodie on. And on this hoodie, it said this: if it makes you feel good, just do it. If there was ever an expression of the world's view these days, that was it. Jesus wants us to understand our own sin, so we'll see our need of him. So we'll see our need of his transforming power to deal with it. You see, Jesus wants us to be able to not sin as much, to not do as much wrong. His Spirit comes and lives in us as we put our trust in him. And if we are honest with God and with ourselves, we will recognize that the pressure to sin comes from inside. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. If you've ever doubted that, if you've ever heard somebody say to you, "I can read your mind," you will have thought, "I hope you can't." For it is from within, out of the heart, that evil thoughts come. It's only when we truly believe that that we'll turn to Jesus as our Redeemer, and we'll turn to Jesus and ask him to transform us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. That's why, as Christians, we never get to a point where we can say, "I've made it." This is a daily battle. It isn't easy to be done with doing the things that come naturally to mind. If we see ourselves as God does, we'll see our need of Jesus. We'll see our sin is our own. And finally, we'll see our need to trust God's word. Verse 13, "Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Jesus shows us the Pharisees, and shows the Pharisees where they are going wrong. Human words and human wisdom are valued more than God's word and God's wisdom. From the very beginning of the passage, Mark makes it clear that it is Jesus and his teaching that is under attack. It is today from both inside and outside the church. Many today will say they believe in Jesus and follow him, but have no problem in saying at the same time that they're going to pick and choose the bits of the Bible they believe. How wrong that is. You see, the disciples took Jesus' word seriously. He told them that no food was unclean, and it was all right to eat the food that they were eating. The Pharisees questioned that. They challenged Jesus' teaching, but Jesus shows that although they look all right on the outside, they are far from God. How do we know God close by? We trust his word. We follow his teaching. So when the Bible says I'm unclean, I am, whatever the world says. When the Bible says I need a redeemer, Jesus, whatever the world says, I do. When the Bible says my sin is my sin, it is, even if the world seeks to explain it away. The Bible teaches many hard things. But if I've understood that naturally I don't hold on to the word of God, then I know that I need God's help so that I will. Do you want to be close to God? Trust his word. Hold on to it. Follow it. Obey it. And then you'll find yourself transformed to be the person God wants you to be. Changed. Made clean. More like Jesus. And that's attractive. When I've been here for a few years, one of our ancient saints who's now in glory, a lady called Betty, came to me and said, "Anthony, can I ask you a question?" And this was the question. "Anthony, I sit in church on a Sunday morning and we normally say confession, and sometimes I don't know what I'm confessing because I haven't done anything wrong." So I said to Betty, I said, "Betty, that's brilliant. Does that mean that every week, every minute of every day, you've done exactly what Jesus wanted you to do?" "Now I know what I'm confessing," she said. The Bible's crystal clear that if we want to be the people God wants us to be, then we need to view ourselves as he does. Not being over-optimistic. But note that if we view ourselves rightly, we will rejoice that Jesus is our Redeemer as we take bread and wine today. We will rejoice that we never, ever stop in our relationship with God because there is always more to experience, more joy to have. As we see ourselves transformed by the God who loves us. if you go running hard or to the gym, when you come out of it, everyone around you will be delighted if you have a bath or a shower. It will be very attractive. If you've come to faith in Jesus, if you let him make you clean, more and more like him, you will find yourself attractive to those around about you. You'll find yourself more fulfilled than you've ever been. Do you want to be like that? Then view yourself as God does. Accept Jesus as your Redeemer and continue to walk that walk of transformation. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you're realistic about what we're like and that you didn't wash your hands of us, rather you sent your Son to rescue us so that we could view ourselves as you do, recognizing our brokenness, our fallenness, and yet experiencing your transforming power. As individuals and as a church family, may we experience that more and more so that we will be attractive as people look at us and see the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that you offer us a fulfilling life, being transformed by you and growing more and more to be like Jesus. Help us to love to live that life more and more. In Jesus' name. Amen. There was a reason why we didn't have a confession at the beginning of the service, because it felt more appropriate at this moment. And so we're going to sing a confession, really, which is "Purify My Heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver." It's a request of God that he would change us to be more like Jesus. Please stand as we sing.